Hey movie lovers, I'm Sam. This week, Marie and I were joined by a local celeb, the hilarious Alyssa Wooldridge, a social media manager by trade and a true movie lover at heart. We asked her to do us the honor of joining us and sending us her unsolicited flick pick. And, well, we just got so excited that we dove right in getting to know her without any formal introductions. So enjoy He's Just Not That Into You, featuring Alyssa Wooldridge.
Extremely, like, church, went to Christian school, like, my mom was a minister, like, and it was very into it, like, used to lead prayer groups, like, was into it.
Was pop culture band?
Kind of, so it was, like, no radio, except a little bit of country, and then movies were, it was kind of, like, on a case-by-case basis, but, like, a lot of Disney movies I didn't see till I was an adult, because if there's too much magic...
Oh, too much magic. It's witchcraft.
Yeah, yes. Like, I had never seen Aladdin until I was older. I don't know why I had never seen Mulan, because there's not really a lot of magic in that, but I hadn't seen that.
No, but it almost talks of, I guess not other religions, but, like, it's a really, really strong culture. Like,
yeah, so Mulan, maybe that, like, was why.
Yeah.
My mom let us watch Pocahontas.
They talk about honoring... the gods of their past, their ancestors. So
that
could
be it.
Yeah.
My mom let us watch Pocahontas and then regretted it because of the tree. And she was like, girls, I don't think this is glorifying to God. But it was, like, too late. We had already seen it. So the floodgates were open with Pocahontas. But yeah, so a lot of random stuff I haven't caught up on. Unfortunately, Crossroads has only been a one-time view for me.
Yeah. It might relate to you because Brittany's character is very, like, grew up, like, very focused, and her dad's kind of, not to say your mom was overbearing, but, like, he was very, like, no,
it's like,
you have to study and do this, and then she does kind of break free from it, but, like, not in a bad way. She doesn't go and do drugs. Like, she breaks free. She finds her own dream.
Yeah, but she goes on a road trip with no permission with, like, two girls and a random.
It's Zoe Saldana, right?
Yeah.
And then the girl from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's a teen pregnancy in that movie.
Right.
There's definitely a lot of PG subjects.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. You felt, like, very rebellious watching it as, like, a 12-year-old.
Yeah. As a 12-year-old, I was like, this is who I will be in 2 years. Yeah.
Just... And, like, when you look at that, how closely have you come to that goal?
Zero.
I don't relate to anyone in that movie.
I skipped all of the, like, dangerous risk-taking behavior that they did. That
wise.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had a few, like, interview-type questions for you. So first we wanted to...
Have you ever done a podcast before?
I've been on one before. My friend in Ottawa has a podcast called Ranked. And it was, like, like, I feel like I like the in real life so much better. It's hard to do it when you're on.
We've done a few.
Yeah.
We've done a few remotely, and it's definitely not the same experience.
Yeah.
They've come out well, but, like.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it because I don't have to make the trip here. And,
yes.
Like, we can do it on, like, a weekday.
For
night.
Sure.
But this is
more
so much
flexible.
More fun.
Yeah.
I know. It's, like, easier to, like, read the room.
Yeah.
Too. Like, I felt when I was doing that one, I was, like, it's, like, harder to, like, not talk over someone because you don't know when someone's about to talk. And...
Yeah.
Wait, so. I want to know what Ranked is about. And then we'll do a whole plug for it.
It's different. I'm not sure if it's still running.
Oh, okay.
This was a long time ago, so maybe.
Oh,
I'll
like
edit. Maybe edit this out. But basically, they just pick topics, and then everyone has to come with, like, their top five, and then it's, like, a battle of, like, who's like, get into, like, the actual top five. So you, like, present your ideas, and then you vote on them, and then.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
I think mine was, like, the episode I was on was like Valentine's Day date ideas, which is hilarious because I've been single my entire life.
I was like, time to think about what.
Yeah, I guess. I was like, unsure why me for this one, but sure.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
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 I like, we've thought about, we might do a couple episodes where we do, like, five of the best worst like zombie movies or vampire movies or like
yes.
I want to do an episode on the career of Brendan Fraser.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have a like framed photo in my okay, head maybe of a we'll, Brendan Fraser.
Maybe we'll sticker. Bring you back for that episode.
I just like feel so concerned about him as a person.
I know.
I'm so like intrigued by him. I feel like he had like a really unfortunate glow down that I just feel like really stressed out about.
I know, and people are so mean about it.
Yes.
But he just looks like an older man. Like, yeah, he was really true. Hot back then, but
he
like,
really was.
He's allowed to age however he wants.
I feel like I've been single for so long that I will have like moments where I'm like, am I straight? Like, is this, if I'm one of those people who just never realized, and then I remember how many times I watched George of the Jungle as a kid, and I'm like, oh yeah,
no, yeah, I'm straight.
Yeah, no.
A glow down. Curse that's my so luck.
Yeah. But I do want to do an episode of the career of Brendan Fraser because it's fascinating.
Mm. Well, I know nothing about his career, so you'll have to come back for that one, Alyssa.
Yeah. He's got a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah. Mm.
So let's get into some questions for Alyssa. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your love for movies.
Ooh, great question. I've always loved movies. I like to tell people my Saturday mornings, like all my Saturdays were about when I was a kid was going to my grandmother's house, getting the TV guide, and then planning what I was going to record for the day. So then my dad would take me to the dollar store, I'd get my VHSs, and then I had like a very strict schedule of like, okay, this is on TBS at 9 till 12. So if I have my tape in here, then I can have a tape upstairs and I can tape this one. And it was like a very routine schedule. So
Amazing. That's
kind of like my earliest memory of being like movie obsessed.
I've also taped movies. I recall this too.
Oh yeah, it was such a ritual for me, and I would like hoard them. Like my dad would be like, I need this to tape like the next NASCAR race, and I'd be like, you cannot have my copy of Rat Race.
On TBS played Rat Race like
you can't tape over that too, because then you would lose all of, like, the 90s TV commercials.
Yes. Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah, so funny.
Yeah, you're a smart child.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Does that count as smart?
I could not have taped, like, there's no way I could have had taped one movie. Like, I don't know how that works. It's sorcery as far as I'm concerned.
I had, like, a library. And then, like, a special, like, you'd get your masking tape out to label it and... Yeah, I was obsessed.
Be kind, rewind.
Yes.
So that kind of led into what a lot of people know on Instagram is your movie recommendations.
Yes.
Tell us about how that first started.
Okay, so I went to, I have a degree in script writing. So when I tell people that I like, but to simplify it, I just tell people I went to film school. But when I tell people I went to film school and then they ask me what my favorite movies are, like they're expecting like your typical like
Citizen Kane.
Yeah. And as soon as I tell them like, I'm actually more of a rom-com girl, I can see like, especially if I'm talking to a guy, I can see their eyes just like glaze over like this girl doesn't know what she's talking about. And then I have to defend myself and be like, no, I like real movies too. But I just think they're, you know, when you look up movie recommendations, you're seeing a lot of people who want to, like, look smart and choose good movies. And I'm like, but you know what? Sometimes you just want to sit on your couch and watch 2 hours of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm here for, because I will tell you if you will enjoy this.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad we're Instagram friends now, because I can just
you're
going
to get those. Yeah. And they're all saved on a highlight on her page, so you can go through.
Doing it for the people.
You know what? I'm just here to serve.
Yeah. So when you're watching a movie, in the theater or at home?
In the theater.
In the theater.
The best. There's nothing. Have you seen that meme where it's like the girl's walking out of the theater and she's like, I've never felt more confident than when I just watched a movie. Like you feel like a different person.
Like I'm about to take all of the personality traits from the main character and bring them into my life.
Yes.
I am now Katniss Everdeen. Favorite movie snack?
Oh, like at the theaters or just in general?
In general.
Right now, really into the combo of pretzels and cold M&Ms.
Cold M&Ms.
Yeah.
Oh. Soft pretzels, hard pretzels.
Hard pretzels.
Okay.
Preferably like the sticks. Like the pretzel
Ooh.
Sticks.
Oh, nice.
And then you got to keep your M&Ms in the fridge. Perfect combo.
Love it.
Wow. What about you guys?
We talk a lot about popcorn because we have this kind of story about popcorn. We've been friends for like 20 years, which it's insane that I've done anything for 20 years. But my mom has this pot. It's a very specific, it's the popcorn pot. And we always made our popcorn on the stove in this pot because it's like the perfect size. It makes like the right amount of popcorn. And me and my siblings are literally fighting over this pot, like when my mom no longer needs it. Like, who is going to get the popcorn pot? Yeah. And so Maria was over for a sleepover and had never had stovetop popcorn. And like her
just to change world, your life.
Changed yeah. my life. Like, I had only ever had microwave popcorn. Betty makes, it's not just stovetop popcorn that I've never seen before, but it's like the best stovetop popcorn. It's like oily, but not too oily, salty. Yeah. I don't even know if she puts butter on it.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But it doesn't need it.
This
yeah.
sounds incredible.
And she would bring like us a huge bowl, like this much popcorn, which I'm like a big pig. Love it. And so every time I go over to Sam's on the weekend, like I was too shy to be outright like,
so we don't pop it tonight.
But that's all I would think about. Like the your mom's popcorn. Yeah.
She did teach me the method, so I did get pretty good at it too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got good at it too. Yeah. It's like 90% of my diet throughout junior high.
I like want you to do a tutorial on Instagram.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to. I have her keys. I have her car right now. So I'm going to go. I'll go see the popcorn box. She's looking to downsize soon anyway. I mean,
you need oven mitts because, like, I can't tell you how many times I've used just a tea towel to, like, hold the pot and it's, like, lit on fire from time to time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Kind of like Will's.
Yeah. Fires are going to happen from time to time. Yeah.
What? I feel like I've never really heard that as a motto.
Why else did they just stop, drop, and roll?
Stephanie, fires are just gonna happen.
It's gonna happen, just you just gotta know how to handle it.
Okay, but wait, what is your favorite movie snack?
I would say popcorn with a disgusting amount of dill pickle sauce. Like dill pickle seasoning.
Classic.
Like my husband hates it. I could be like 10 feet away from him and he just smells it and he's like, ugh. So sometimes if we're at the movie, so like, give me a kiss now because I'm not going near you.
Like, for the rest of are we considering divorce?
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, so yeah, copious amounts of dill pickle sauce.
Yeah. And I'm a fiend for chips and dip.
Oh, chips I love dip. That. What is the dip of choice?
It was always onion dip, like homemade with the soup powder and the mayonnaise and the sour cream. But the Ruffles ranch from the jar is now like my.
I have some in my fridge.
Go to. It's so good. Anytime I bring it home, Midge is like, uh oh, you're going to eat that whole thing tonight, aren't you? And he just can't look at me the same way.
Okay. We should probably eventually start talking about the movie in question. So, what was your thought behind picking He's Just Not That Into You?
Okay. So, this might be one of the movies I have watched the most in my life. Like, I feel like I put it on all the time. Like, if I'm cleaning, I put it on. Mm-hmm. If I'm bored, I put it on. I never get sick of it. And I know it's, like, a bad movie.
But it's a good movie.
But it's so good.
It's good.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's, like, a few stories into one, it almost gives it the same feel of, like, having a sitcom in the background.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because it's, like, if you miss one bit, you can just catch up.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I'm if glad you miss what's that. Happening with Scarlett Johansson and Bradley Cooper, just focus on what's happening with Jennifer Goodwin and Justin Long.
Yeah. I love to use this movie as like a litmus test for people to be like, what's your favorite storyline? And then you're like, oh,
okay.
This person's not for me.
Okay. Let's.
Oh, that's a good. Yeah.
Okay. What is yours? I have to say, Janine, not like, she's, I think, the person that I think is the most reasonable of them all. I think she makes the least bad decisions and makes the best good decision. I think she has the best outcome of everyone.
Yes, it's very, like, hopeful at the end. Like, to see her, like, standing on her own. And
there's a small part I noticed. She smashes the mirror. I have a little bit about that later. She smashes the mirror, but then the last scene she's in, she's putting up a new mirror that's like very similar.
I live for it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Janine for me.
Yeah. I just love Gigi. should not do. Yeah, she's adorable.
Have you ever heard that theory that it's like the things you find annoying in other people are actually the things you don't like about yourself? The first few times I saw this movie, I was like, I hate Gigi. And then on one viewing, I was like, oh, I think I am Gigi.
I think a lot of girls are Gigi.
Yeah.
At one point or another.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so cute at the end, like the very, very end when they're finally together and they're in like playing board games with their friends or something. And just
she's
like, could make me cry.
Oh, I've definitely cried in this movie for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. That's an emotional moment.
I will just say the only note I made about the movie, like, is essentially what you just said about your like general thoughts, and that it's just good company. Like, it's so unoffensive. There's enough detail that you can watch it over and over again. And like, if I'm hungover, like on the couch all day, like, I'm just gonna put it on. And
yeah,
it never disappoints.
So, yeah, I won't turn it off until it ends. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I am just like a sucker for Ben Affleck in general.
Oh, yeah.
And his storyline with Jennifer Aniston when he shows up at her family's house and is just doing the dishes. I'm like, wow, isn't that everyone's dream?
Yeah. It was a bit random, though. They weren't, like, communicating. Weren't they broken up?
I know. When you think about that, it's like, it is so good. But also, is it kind of weird?
It's movie magic.
Like, if it happened in your real life, like, your ex-boyfriend that broke your heart showed up at your family's house, would you be like,
"Yeah, like,
I want to marry you?" Or would you be like, please leave?
I want to see the scene of him, like, pulling up and, like, walking in the door, like, trying to not be seen. So that he could be like, oh, I'm just doing the dishes. Like, if she turned the corner and he was just, like, creeping in the door,
she'd be like, get out.
Yeah. Like, I thought I told you to leave. Yeah.
The strategy that was needed for him to be in a place
he's where like she watching would appreciate him. Okay, she's in the other room. Sort the dishes.
This will make her forget about all her marriage wants and desires. So Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston are simply
best. Oh, yeah, and Jennifer Aniston, too.
Yeah.
Best storyline.
All right, let's get into those movie stats. We like to go over a little bit of, like, how the movie we're talking about was received by the critics. See if we agree.
Yeah. IMDb rated it 6.4. 41% on the tomato meter. They're a little harsh. 59% by the audience. So... mediocre, not great.
I bet if we go on IMDb, there's a lot of high scores and a lot of low scores, bringing that average to 6.4.
Mm-hmm. And I do feel like this movie could be divisive with men and women. Like, I feel like this is definitely one of those movies that men are like, that's dumb.
Yeah. They watch it just to watch young Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that enough?
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. What a babe.
Let's get into the plot. So okay. We meet a young girl who goes through the traumatizing experience of being bullied by a young boy, running to her mom crying, and her saying, he's just doing that because he likes you. Which, who hasn't been told that as a child? So they kind of show all these different, like, excuses that a lot of women talk about. Like, he's not calling you because, like, you're just too awesome, or... he's just really busy right now, or he's scared of your success, or, and all these things that we kind of all
lie to each other about.
Lie to each other rather than saying he's just not that into you.
So Gigi, who's played by Jennifer Goodwin, also if Justin Long is saying her name, it's Gigi. she is kind of like the anchor of the story, and she is searching for love, and her issue is she keeps going on these dates with these guys. The first one in this movie, she goes on a date with this guy named Connor, and they seem to go well, and he's nice and she likes him, and then he never calls her back. And then it's just her constantly obsessing over, should I wait for him to call? Should I call? If he didn't call, does it mean he doesn't like me? If he does call, does it mean he does like me? It's just like the constant questioning and asking her friends and looking for advice. And she kind of decides to take matters into her own hands. She knows a bar where he goes a lot. And she decides to just drop in and see if she can casually bump into him, and ends up chatting with the bartender played by Justin Long. And he kind of becomes her, like, love life coach. And he's like coaching her through what she should do. And this is where that he's just not that into really comes in, because he says that to her.
And it blows her mind. Like,
yes, she thinks that she's just cracked the code. He says, all these stories that your friends tell you of girls who've had success, they're the exception and you are the rule. Mm-hmm. And then the movie, as it progresses, she, you know, she's going to him for advice and she starts to think that maybe he's into her. So he tries to set her up on a blind date and it doesn't show. And in her mind, she goes, oh, he was actually just trying to find an excuse to hang out with me. Spoiler alert, that's not true. And she ends up embarrassing herself yet again when he invites her to a party. She thinks that he's asking her to co-host it, which makes me cringe because I feel like that is something I would do.
She's refilling chips and like,
oh, I'm like,
doing,
oh,
okay, this here's is another beer,
this is too real, too real. At the end of the night, she makes a move, he turns her down, she's heartbroken. And then, you know, they separate for a while, and then he finally realizes that he was in love with her all along, and chases her down and finds her at her apartment, and
grand gesture.
Yeah.
Big romantic gesture.
And then circles back with, you're not the rule, you're the exception. You're my exception.
Aww.
Yeah. And they live happily ever after.
What a great
synopsis.
As we
can assume, of course.
Yeah, let's
like
hope.
Like in all these movies.
Let's hope.
They live happily ever after. That's it.
Yeah. And also reinforces the idea that the movie was, like, it kind of goes against the idea that the movie was supposed to have, where it's like, he's just not that into you. And then it's like, oh, no, but wait, for Gigi, he was. And so you're watching this movie and then you're like, oh, I'm going to be like Gigi. But guess what? No, you're not.
Some of you are going to be Janine.
Yeah. Me.
Love is hard.
So, Maria, tell us about Beth and Neil.
Okay. Beth is played by Jennifer Aniston. Neil is Ben Affleck. So, right away, we've got excellent acting. And they are in a long-term relationship for like 7-some years. And all Beth wants is to be married. She wants a proposal, and Neil is not going to give it to her. It's just against his values, I guess. So Beth works with Gigi. I guess that's where the connection is. I'm so glad you drew a flowchart.
The
flowchart,
yep. Yeah. I will post the flowchart on the Instagram because it's...
So their story is pretty straightforward. She's sick of it. She's sick of waiting around for the proposal. And he basically tells her he's never going to propose. So they break up. They have a little time apart. And then Beth's father sadly has a heart attack. And while she's taking care of him and she's watching all her sister's husbands be like absolute pieces of shit in the family home, like they're doing nothing. She's at her wit's end. She walks into the kitchen and there's Neil doing the dishes. And he says, oh, I picked up some food for your dad, some stuff he likes, but some healthy stuff too. And I cried. No, I didn't cry, but I got misty.
Yeah.
It was sweet. And I'm sure she also got misty in the moment. And from then on, I guess she realizes, okay, I don't need the proposal. She goes and finds him on his sailboat where I assumed he'd been living.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty sad.
Then at sea.
Clearly he knew they were going to get back together. He didn't like invest in any apartment or new furniture.
Like, she'll come around.
Yeah. And so she does come around. She realizes like, we don't need to be married. And of course they get back together and he promptly proposes. And she says, of course. And then they also live happily ever after.
Of course.
I think.
They get married on their boat.
They get married on the
boat.
I
thought
yeah.
that was very cute.
Yeah. So sweet.
So, the whole time I was like, Ben and Jen. And I think it's so funny that they had Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston in these two roles, because they both, like, have had some troubles in the marriage department.
Oh, wow, I've never thought about that.
Like, we all know, like, Jennifer Aniston's, like, all of her struggles with marriage, and then now Ben's been with like many different women, and
he's back with J-Lo,
and
which thank God nature is healing.
Yeah. But I think this is the real Bennifer that we all deserved.
I agree, absolutely.
I would have liked that.
Did that ever happen?
No,
in my life, no,
no,
no. Just seems like it could happen.
She was too busy with Brad at the time, I'm sure.
Right.
So. The last storyline that kind of has a lot more of, like, the loose ends, because there's some characters that really don't have a full storyline on their own, is Anna and Ben. So Anna is played by Scarlett Johansson, and Ben is Bradley Cooper, who could not look, like, more of a douchebag in this movie.
The hair.
Frosted
oh my
tips.
God.
Oh, he's just... These are the worst characters in the movie.
Like, absolutely. Not,
both of them are the worst. So they meet at a grocery store where Anna had just ditched Connor, who went on the date with Gigi. Connor is like fully on Anna's hook. She kind of just keeps him at an arm's length. They've slept together, but then he like goes over and massages her feet whenever she wants him to. So she just blew him off and she runs into Ben and they start talking, and Ben is good friends with Neil. That's how those two connect. They kind of have a flirtation. Ben is in like the music industry, so Anna's a struggling singer, so he claims that he's going to help her with her career, which was just an excuse. And at first he kind of rejects her, and bad advice from her friend Mary, who's Drew Barrymore. She talks about one of those stories that happened, like her grandfather or something was married and then met the love of his life, and said, she says something like, if you find the one but you're already with someone else, are you gonna let them pass you by?
Yes.
Should I get that on a mug?
That's in my wedding vows, actually. To have and to hold until I find the right one. I'm not gonna let them pass me by.
Until I find someone who loves dill pickle seasoning. Yeah.
So Anna just keeps going at him. He like creeps her and goes to like her yoga lesson. She's a yoga teacher, which there was like a period of time in pop culture where yoga instructors were like fetishized in a way. Mm-hmm. Like it was like the hot girl thing. Every like hot girl in a movie was like a yoga instructor.
Yeah.
It was like a weird time. I don't think we see that as much today, but so they end up banging. Ben is married to Janine, who's played by Jennifer Connelly. They're in the process of renovating a house. So with Ben getting it on the side, Janine starts to get a little suspicious, and weirdly, the thing that really gets to her is she finds a pack of cigarettes. And she goes, like, Ben, have you been smoking? And he's like, no, no, I haven't. And she goes, good, because my dad died of lung cancer. So on top of cheating and lying to your wife, he's also smoking again after her father died of lung cancer. Mm-hmm. Not a redeeming quality at all. It kind of comes to a head where Anna's in Ben's office and they start to get frisky. And then Janine walks in because she's fully, like, ready to work things out. And so her idea of coming into Ben's office was that she was going to try to have sex with him to relight this fire. So Anna's in the closet, half-dressed, and has to listen to Ben and Janine do it. So she comes out, she is like, I'm done with you, but still does love him. But then she runs back to Connor, who she keeps on his hook, and she's like, yeah, I'm all in, I'm yours. And so Connor's thrilled. And... let's do a side note on Connor, because there's one scene in particular that didn't age well in this. He's a realtor and he's kind of cheesy, but he puts in this ad in a magazine and it just happens to be on a page with a bunch of like male escorts, gay male escorts. So he has this scene where he's trying to like appeal to the gay market, and he's like, he comes out in like a tight purple t-shirt. It's really cringy. They make a lot of jokes that, like, are probably not okay anymore. So, yeah, he's big cringe. And so, but he thinks he's got Anna, and he shows her this house. I got an inside deal on this house. It's for us. And she's like, no, 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 no. And then runs and splits. So she's just like very flip-floppy. Like she just goes wherever someone will take her. So eventually Ben tells Janine that he's cheated on her. He tells her this in a Home Depot, which Home Depot was a terrible place to be for a lot of people. So this is one reason.
I will 100% agree with that. I hate Home Depot.
I hate it, but I also want to love it so bad. But I've gotten, like, so mistreated there before because I'm a woman. So I just, like, stick to the plant section, and that's, like, that's my... No one, like, hates me in the plant section, so... Anyway, so Janine has her breaking moment. She is kind of still trying to fix things, but then she finds cigarettes in his stuff, like, in his pocket. And... that is her breaking point, is the cigarettes, not the sleeping around. And this is where she smashes that mirror, like I said, which I found so funny. She smashes this mirror and then she, like, walks out of the room and just comes back with a broom and dustpan. It's
such a perfect glimpse of her personality in, like, 15 seconds.
Yeah. And eventually leaves Ben a note and says, I'm divorcing you.
Oh, what does it say on the note? It's like a giant pack of Camel cigarettes.
Yes!
Like, fill your boots.
Yeah.
I want a divorce.
Yeah.
That was a
so badass
move. Yeah.
And then we see her. So after her, she does move into like a new apartment and she hangs up a new mirror, which is like a great little moment. So she's like on her own. We don't really see what happens to Ben afterwards.
There's another girl or something. Like isn't his end scene? He's at like the same grocery store and there's like a girl behind him or in front of him. And, and you kind of get this idea like, oh, this is what this guy's going to do for the rest of his life.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a perfect wrap-up for him. The last kind of little loose end that they do is Anna's friend Mary. So she had worked with Connor with that ad sale thing. They, like, meet up in a cafe, and then it's kind of implied that, like, they start dating. So that's cute, because they had only ever, like, spoken to each other on the phone or email, and so they kind of...
My favorite moment in the whole movie might be when Drew Barrymore and I can't remember this guy's real name.
Connor.
Whoever plays Connor. At the very end of the movie where they're kind of like the credits are rolling and they're doing like the catch-ups. And he's like, I really, really like her. And then he mouths to the camera, I love her.
That is so cute.
That might be my favorite moment in the whole thing. It's so sweet.
There's also a good Mary scene when she's talking to Anna. They're in like a pharmacy and Anna's like, Ben's gonna leave his wife for me and like just being all sorts of problematic. And Mary goes on this tirade about she's having like some dating problems. So she's like, there's so many ways that like guys can ignore you now. Like she talked about MySpace a lot. Email, personal email, work email, like personal phone, work phone. And that's like, that's really like aged well. Cause now it's like, there's so many different ways to talk to people now. Even me and Maria have a full like text conversation going, but also message each other on Messenger all the time too. Yeah. And then Instagram.
Cause my cell service is
I really want an update of this movie with people doing the apps, all these different ways to communicate, and then maybe also, like, diversify the couples, and then call it If You Wanted To, He Would.
Oh!
Amazing.
Write the script.
I was just going to say, who should do it, but maybe it should be me.
It should be you.
There's no one else but you.
Absolutely.
So I think that was a really simplified version of all of these stories, because it's all very, like, intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much that, like, Alex and Connor are friends, and then, like, the three main girls, like, Janine, Gigi, and Beth, all work together. So it's, like, it's just all very intermingled. And this might have been the first movie to do that.
It was, like, the first in, like, the Valentine's Day, New Year's Eve, Mother's Day. It was, like, that was, like, the first one.
Maybe Love Actually would be before that, but...
Oh, yeah, good call.
Yeah.
I feel like all those other movies are Gary Marshall movies.
The other component of this movie, which is just, like, random, is all those little, like, interview scenes.
Yes! Oh, my God. The one with, when she's like, I would like to reserve the right to call him in 15-minute intervals if he's not calling me back. She's like, whoever invented caller ID needs to die.
Yeah, that was cute. They're all, like, kind of interspersed in movies, like, if he's not calling you back, or, like, if he won't marry you, or, like, if she won't sleep with you. Yeah. And it's just, like, all talking to people.
It's like, very, like, a Billy and Sally with, like, the intercuts.
Yep. So that's, yeah, that's another, like, good aspect of this movie. And I can see how this movie would have translated well to a book, because, like, each chapter is, like, telling a different
super little story. In, like, romantic novels.
Let's start talking about some of the categories that we usually like to talk about. We like to talk about the characters and the actors and how they played the characters. I think a lot of them were, like, perfectly cast. Except I found it so funny that Scarlett Johansson took such a, like, a villainous role. She's not usually that, she's not known for being
the person you hate the most.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe they did that on purpose because she is such a charming person that it's... Yeah.
Well, I mean, physically she plays the role, like, very well.
Yeah.
Not to be derogatory or paternalistic or anything, but I mean, there's just something about her face and her body that, like, you are going to have an affair with this woman. If it's anybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, Jennifer Goodwin, too, she kind of usually plays, like, someone like that, too. Like, she's beautiful, but she's never, like...
She's, like, more cute.
Yeah. She's always, like, the...
The best friend.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think she's in other, like, rom-coms where she's the best. So I think that's good, too. There's a funny moment when we kind of first meet Justin Long's character, Alex. So we were just talking about Crossroads, and... which he's briefly in, he, like, has a sex pact with Britney Spears, her character, and we were just talking about how, like, what a, like, like, what a great role for him. He was, like, imagine, like, being a young actor and being, like, I get to have a sex scene with Britney Spears.
A dream come true.
And then in this, he's, like, a manager at a bar, and Busy Phillips is the hostess, and she walks in, and she's, like, yeah, I had a really good time last night, like, want to go out again? He's like, no. Like, he blows her off.
He's like, I have way too many options to waste any more time on
you. He, like, has a Britney scene, and then now he just thinks he's king.
Do you think I'm, like, on set? How did they distinguish between Jennifer, Jennifer, and Jennifer?
Oh, my God. And then with the Bens.
The Ben,
like,
Bens.
Yeah. Ooh, I would love to know, like, what their nicknames were for each other.
They would have had to have something.
Yeah. But then also, I feel like there probably wasn't, like, a ton of crossover, too.
Right.
With shooting, like, because everything's so separate.
Right.
That's true. Just in the office scenes.
Trio Jennifers, though.
Yeah.
The power that the name Jennifer has in the actress world.
My.
Could go on.
Should we change our names to Jennifer? Maybe.
We should talk about fashion, which in this movie, it didn't... I don't think the point of it was to stand out, but there was definitely a few outfits that were, like, very 2009.
Lots of layers.
Particularly with Gigi, which was, like, like, kind of a A-line dress with, like, a belt and, like, a cardigan over it and tights, which is, like, a look I still wear, but I thought a lot of it was cute.
I think it's, like, recent enough that it's not, like, the fashion's not so out of date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's just sort of, like, nothing notable.
Yeah.
I guess maybe except that purple shirt that
yeah.
Connor wears to fit in with the gay community. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. He does get, like, there's a scene later where he's, like, doing an open house, and it just happens to be filled with gay men, and two of them, like, try to give him advice, because they, like, look at him with Anna, and they're like, yeah, she doesn't like you, bro.
Everyone can tell.
Yeah.
Not with, like, music. The only song that I love, I love that this song is in this movie, because I love the movie so much, is the Talking Head song, This Must Be the Place. Do you know that one? No. It's, like, the opening of Wall Street, if you've ever seen that movie.
No, I haven't.
Or I can't remember if it's the opening of Wall Street, or I actually think it's halfway through that movie. But it's, like, to me, when I think of Wall Street, I think of that song. And it just like randomly appears in this movie in like a transition between scenes. And what it, I feel like it was put there for me. I was like, I love this song. I love this movie. Thank you so much.
A little Easter egg.
It has a good like kind of towards the end, the song Somewhere Only We Know by Keane. It's when Alex is like doing his grand romantic gesture to Gigi. That's like, it's a good, it's a very like a Grey's Anatomy song.
Yeah, you know, like God.
Definitely is in Grey's.
So now we do our overall thoughts on the movie.
Okay, well, what are my overall thoughts? Like I said, I'll turn it on like if I don't want to think about what I want to watch. And it's just good company. Hard not to like a movie with Scarlett Johansson, Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Aniston, Ben Affleck. It's great. Yeah. I'm going to give it a solid 7 romantic storylines out of 10. So that's it. It's good. That's pretty high.
Yeah, for sure.
I would have to say overall thoughts. Yeah. I think in a way it's kind of interesting to show romantic storylines of like people who are bad people. Not everything is a hero moment. So I think they presented the bad behavior in a bad enough way where it wasn't really glorified. We do get some really good themes like hope at the end, like Janine, Jennifer Connelly, like she's starting out on her own again, and like it's kind of a hopeful outlook on her life. And same with Gigi, she never gave up hope that she would finally find someone, and then in the end she did, and she's like, I'm glad I didn't give up hope. I'm glad I didn't, you know, go into the negative of, well, guys just don't like me. Like, because she did kind of have that funk where she's like, well, no guys like me. But she never gave up hope. So I'm going to say 7.5 gay male escorts out of 10. All wearing tight purple t-shirts.
Okay, well, like I said before, I feel like this is one of my ultimate comfort movies. I think it's just such like a delightful time. I'm concerned with how I think I have used the Alex character as like a real therapist in my life. I feel like I need to work on removing that voice out of my head. Do you remember the part where he talks about, he's like, girls love drama. Like, have you ever not paid? I think about that once a week. I'm like, he's right. I didn't pay that bill on time, and I did kind of thrive on the drama.
You're waiting for those calls.
Yeah, so I would say, considering the free therapy or the $11.99 Netflix subscription cost per month for therapy costs, and just, like, the acting, general vibes, that, you know, there's some good jokes, I would give this 8 dentist office pens out of 10.
Oh, that's bad. Beautiful.
All right. Well, Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us. This was honestly a match made in heaven.
I agree.
And we will have to have you back. We're already brainstorming some other episodes that we know you'd be perfect for.
Next week, Sam's going to make me watch a horror movie.
Oh, gosh.
Just the fact that we've made it to, like, 10 episodes and you haven't.
Yes.
Made me watch a horror movie.
Oh, yet. I know. Actually know what we're doing.
I'm very grateful for
it. Next week, we have a very special movie. Next week, we're going to watch Pride and Prejudice with Zombies. Actual title of the movie. It's so good.
Okay.
It's so good. You're going to love it.
Yeah, probably not. Alyssa, I love you. Thanks for coming.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. I'm kind of going to, I feel like I'm going to have FOMO that I'm not here for every single one. Thank you so much. And can't wait to hear next week.
Yay.
All right. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram for the flow chart that I created to help you understand this plot. You can follow us at Unsolicited Flick Picks Podcast. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Later, lovers. Hey.
Thank you.